don't look at my new background yet. I don't want you to look at that mirror because something might be reflected in there that I don't want reflected in there. You know how sometimes you see movies and they don't realize they're shooting into a mirror and something shows up that they don't want to show up? Hang on a second. Let me look at this mirror. All right, I think we're good. They're just a bunch of, what is that? Clothes, jewelry. Anyway, I think we're safe. This is Martin Zenner. I'm going to explain to you in a minute why I have a new background. Okay, I'll explain now. I am in Fresno, California. That I will explain to you in a second. This is the Revelation series. I'm going to get off the beaten path a little bit today and bring you something a little different. Something a little different. I need to close up some business from yesterday. Remember, I showed you that picture of me standing in front of the house of A.E. Nock. And I said that L.A., the towers thereof in the background were readily visible. And I didn't bring out the contrast of that. Although, not that I have to spoon feed you this concept, because I don't. But imagine, 1930, Greta Garbo, Clark Gable, Gloria Swanson, Jimmy Stewart. Name any star of that era. The great premieres. And here's A.E. Nock working in anonymity on Boyle Hill. That was the name of this neighborhood in L.A. when A.E. Nock did his deeds. And I think it's significant that A.E. Nock was on top of a hill. It's a big neighborhood now, but at the time it was a field. It was a pasture. It was way out in the burbs, but it was on a hill. And there's the L.A., the Hollywood, down there in the valley. Kind of reminds me of Sodom and Gomorrah. Ooh, that's kind of a good analogy. I just came up with that. Anyway, I was with some friends that day, and I didn't tell you this, but what contrast. A.E. Nock just within sight of the glitz and the glamour of the world, and yet who will be celebrated? A.E. Nock never appeared at the Academy Awards, to my knowledge. Will somebody please check on that? Get back with me. Was A.E. Nock ever nominated for anything? Best supporting role in a major translation, and the winner is no, never. In fact, he wasn't a supporting role. He was a lead character. So there he is, working on the Heights, Boyle Heights to be exact. You've never heard of it, of course. Have you heard of Hollywood? Have you heard of Hollywood Boulevard? Have you heard of the Walk of Fame? Well, I was on the Walk of Fame with friends that day before heading up to Boyle Hill to see the home of A.E. Nock. And you know what I was more impressed with? Yeah. No, not the trinket shop on Hollywood Boulevard. It was nice. Yeah, I got a little Walk of Fame star. It said Martin on it. You know, why not? Gotta have some, kitsch there before you leave Hollywood. But the contrast is unreal. And I told you, Dan Sheridan and I, years ago, visited A.E. Nock's grave, Forest Lawn Cemetery. That's where all the stars are interred, entombed, buried, disgraced, whatever. Death is a disgrace. A.E. Nock is there too. At the snatching away, whose grave is going to shine the most? Who's going to be the star then? Who's going to be the star then? Have I introduced myself? All right, this is Martin Zenner. I am in Fresno at the home of a longtime friend. And that longtime friend is this cat here on the dresser. I want to show you there's a cat. And you still don't know where I am. I'm going to hold you in suspense till the end of the show, but hang on a second. I got to show you this. Oh, sorry. I got snagged here. This is a new studio. I'm in my Fresno studio today. Look at this thing. You know, I have to be very delicate with this. I hope you're watching on the studio cam, because look at this. Look at this kitty. He's very relaxed. Very, very relaxed. You don't want to disturb him, because if you disturb him, look at, he just, look, he's so cute. You gotta turn on the studio cam. If you're listening to audio, you're just missing this whole thing. I want you to show you this kitty. Kitty, can you move, kitty? Kitty, kitty. He goes sideways and everything. Look, this cat goes sideways. It's anti-gravity cat. He's so relaxed. You can't shake this thing. You turn it upside down. It's awesome. It's fake. All right, because, well, we're not in Hollywood, but I just had to point it out to you because I get startled by it every time I walk in this room. I'm at the home of Sheryl Crow in, well, it's actually not Fresno, that's true. To get technical about it, it's Kerman, K-E-R-M-A-N. Yeah, you really have to scrutinize the Rand McNally product to find this little town. But that's where the Saints are. Now, I'm not talking about that Sheryl Crow. I'm talking about the famous one. I'm talking about the famous one. I'm talking about the future ruler of the universe. That Sheryl Crow. That's her name. I've known her for 13 years. She's a believer. She found out about my work, and she tells me 2003. I had just written the book, How to Quit Church Without Quitting God, and she latched onto it. She's a special person. She's sitting right behind me right now. Right? If I could adjust the mirror just a little bit. Did you hear her laugh? She just laughed in the background. She really wanted a show recorded in her home, and I thought, what a great idea. I love to take this show on the road, and this is hallowed ground for me, and I'm going to tell you why. For one thing, Sheryl is a victim of cancer, a terrible cancer that has taken her right arm. Is it your right arm? I'm looking back there, and she has no right arm. And your left arm doesn't have a hand.
Correct.
It's cut. Where did they take your left arm off?
Just above the wrist.
And you don't have a foot on your right leg. Is there a foot?
There is no foot.
There's no foot. And your left leg, you have half a foot.
I have my heel.
You have your heel. Let's review. Let's review, ladies and gentlemen. Sheryl Crow has no right arm. She has a left arm, at the end of which is missing a hand. Her right leg has no foot. Her left leg, barely one, just a heel. And I will tell you this, that there are few believers I know with the staunchness of faith of this woman. And for 13 years, we've been corresponding, and we've been glorying in our expectation. And we both have endured humiliations in this life. And so have you, you who are listening to me now. We've all endured some sort of trial, some sort of humiliation, where we've been decimated. Sheryl's limbs have been decimated. Your life has been decimated. Your family. Something is wrong. Something is wrong with all of us. But by the grace of God, He has given us a faith, and Sheryl has some of the strongest faith I've ever seen. And in my correspondence with her over the years, I have rarely found a person who is so in tune with the living God, so looking forward to seeing the living God. And as I was driving up here yesterday, this is what struck me. I could not wait to get here. I was nervous. And every mile I got closer, I was just excited to see this person. Now, you know that I believe we are very near to the snatching away. This woman's body is going to be radically changed. And I'm driving up here yesterday, and I'm really excited and I'm nervous because this is what occurred to me. I hope nobody takes this the wrong way. Sheryl, I don't think you'll take this the wrong way. Will you take this the wrong way?
I promise not.
She probably will. No, you won't? Okay. I may be the last person, the last believer, let's put it that way, to see this woman's body in the condition it is now. I am about contrast. I can't wait to see the deliverance of this spirit that has been put in this body that has limited her. And yet she does some amazing tricks. I'm going to put a photo on the website here associated with this video showing her paging through my Bible. She said to me, Martin, no matter what you do, you gotta bring your Bible. I've been looking at this thing for 13 years. I love it. I have to touch it. I have to page through it. And here's how she did it. She paged through it by holding it. She was sitting in her wheelchair. You somehow held it with the stub of your right leg. And you turn the page with a stub of your left arm. And she's just delicately, like a butterfly, flitting through each page. And this thing's ripped to shreds. I was amazed. She's astounding. She keeps going. She keeps going no matter what. But I'm driving up here, and I'm going on these roads. We're in the country here. And I'm just zigzagging along the country. And I said, for years, this has been the scene of Sheryl's humiliation. This is where she suffered. She suffered here. And this is why, to me, this is hallowed ground. Because she's had some terrible scares with cancer in her life. And the news was not always good. You're going to lose a foot. You're going to lose a hand. You're going to lose another foot. things go bad in this life. And yet her faith, while it has not been perfect, whose faith ever is? There's been endurance. And that's what I keep asking of you. That's what I keep saying, that we endure. Jesus Christ is returning for those who are enduring. Enduring. And enduring is nothing prettier than remaining under the trial. And I came here, and this is hallowed ground because of the suffering factor. Because God used this environment, this place, this vessel for her to humble her, because it's an experience of evil. And don't think this is not evil, this cancer. It's evil. It's insidious. But it is an experience of evil that God has given. This is Ecclesiastes somewhere, 11:1, I think. An experience of evil given to this, maybe it's 11:3, to the sons of humanity to humble them by it. And we are all humbled. And the Apostle Paul was humbled. And he mentions all the things that we could think could potentially separate us from the love of God. Affliction, distress, persecution, sword, nakedness, a scalpel. And he says, in all these things we are more than conquering. And I am sitting in the room with a conqueror, with a future ruler of the universe. This is why I approached this home with awe and with reverence, as if I were visiting the Queen of England. Because this girl is greater to me than the Queen of England. She's a future celestial magistrate. And if you could see her now, you wouldn't think that. But neither would you think it if you looked at our Lord Jesus Christ when he was on earth. Future celestial magistrate. He was the firstborn of all creation. And yet, he was a lowly man. He was humble. He was not good looking. He was despised by humanity, and only those with a spiritual vision could see the inherent power and the potential, bad word to use for Christ. I'll credit myself today with having the spiritual vision to look at Sheryl Crow and to realize who I'm looking at, to see the glory right behind it. I looked her in the eyes yesterday for the first time. We've been wanting to look each other in the eye for 13 years. I looked at her in the eye. I said, I know who you are, and I know what you're going to become, and I know what you're becoming now. And I can look right through, your infirmities. And it was so close to me, the glory, so close, the glory. This is a little bit of a parlor trick when you're in this eon and when you're staring at the flesh and blood. But the Spirit gives you a perception, and I want you to have this perception for yourself. For Cheryl, for me, for anyone you know in the body of Christ who is suffering. We're on the brink of deliverance. I wanted to see Cheryl before the deliverance because I want to see the contrast. But God so acquaints us with our deliverance. He so calls it as though it were. He calls what is not as though it were. He does that because he puts us right up against it. And I'm looking at her in the eye, and I'm right up against the reality. It does not yet appear now what she shall be. It does not yet appear except to the spiritual eye. I have that spiritual eye, and I thank God for it. It's also a spiritual eye that can walk down Hollywood Boulevard and also see where that's going. I know where that's going. And I show up here in Kerman, California, to a home next to a vineyard. That's appropriate, isn't it? A vineyard. What an analogy. I'm looking out the window right now. It's a vineyard. The grapes are crushed. And the juice comes out and it's made into something ethereal. It's made into something better than it was when it started. First the soulish, afterwards that which is spiritual. Cheryl, the spiritual's coming. It's on the brink. It may happen before I leave here this afternoon. I wanted to share her life and my brief moments with her life, with you today. And I pray this has been an encouragement to you. You can't look in the mirror and believe what you see. You have to believe our Lord. You have to believe the words of Paul. Our life is now hid together with Christ in God. But when Christ Jesus, our life, is manifested, then we shall be manifested with him in glory.